Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So Cooley was on my podcast Friday. He had done a film review of Ben Sinnott, Washington's second-round pick, the third of their second-round picks, picked 53 overall, the tight end from Kansas State. A lot of people very excited about him, tested off the charts athletically. Cooley had already heard from a lot of people saying this is a player that just reminds a lot of fans of Chris. And so here was the film breakdown that Chris had on Ben Sinnott.
Watch some K-State film, and you're like, that is Chris.
Looks a lot like you.
It's wild. If he's wearing number 47, we're identical.
Right.
It's because you see him coming out of the backfield a ton. He's really an H-back, or what most teams would call an F or something. Who cares what call him? It's what Joe Gibbs calls an H-back. He's versatile.
Yeah.
Off the line of scrimmage, running routes, and they'll spread him out. They use him everywhere at K-State. Like, he can go all the way out at wide receiver. He can be in that tight split where it looks like what Travis Kelce does a ton with one back to the side. Put his hand on the ground. He can be in the wing spot. He's playing fullback quite a bit. He plays next to the quarterback in shotgun in a bunch of situations. So he's got to be a really, really smart kid. You can't take a guy like this and play them every single position week in and week out without having a really intelligent football player. So I think he's got to be an intelligent football player. The point I was making, I guess, with the split out stuff is, too, his vertical release is really good. I'm watching him because when you're watching film, it's like he runs a little bit upright. But I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like, this dude is fast. They're at 4.68 at the combine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got wheels. And then I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, the dude can run routes. He's really, really qualified as a route runner. Technically, he's got good feet. He's underneath himself. He makes good breaks. He comes out of cuts well. He's almost always friendly to the football for the quarterback. He's clearly a big-time target. They're a big-time target. I mean, they want to go to him. Like, they're drawing up plays for him at K-State. So, fun to watch him. Couple things. As far as a receiver, I love that he catches the ball with his hands. Like, he's a hands catcher.
Right.
He's not a body catcher. And it was funny, though, to say that. Like, I was watching the Peyton Manning thing on ESPN. What are those, Peyton's places?
Yeah.
And Lynn Swan was talking about being a chest catcher because he wanted to protect the ball. Crazy Lynn Swan when you think about it or watch him, though. All those plays he went up over the top of everybody to still catch it with his chest.
Yeah. That surprises me. I would have, if you had asked me, was Lynn Swan a hands catcher or a chest catcher, I would have just assumed he was a hands catcher.
You would assume that, but he's a chest catcher. Purposely, he said. He said that was on purpose.
Do you think it's smart to be a chest catcher on purpose?
I think it's smart to make sure you catch the ball. Some people can catch it with their chest, all right. I could catch it with my chest.
You did catch a lot of balls with your chest, don't you think?
Yeah, in tight spots, you do actually protect the ball better. It's easier almost to turn and run, too, if you catch it on the side of into your chest where you're turning to run. I'll bet Ben Sinnott could do that.
He's a hands catcher, though. He reaches those hands out and snags it.
Yeah, he is. He is a big-time hands catcher. He can high point a football, man. So I'm watching him go up and get a ball and then go back to the combine. I'm like, does he really have a 40-inch freaking vertical?
Do you know what his vertical 40. Was?
40.
It was 40 inches?
40-inch vertical.
Do you know what his RAS score was?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what RAS is?
No.
So it's relative athletic score. I actually had the guy that created it.
Incredibly high.
It was outrageously high. I went back and looked at yours. So hold on. I had that up. So Ben Sinnott's at a scale of 0 to 10. His was 9.73. That is very high. Yours was pretty good too, but it wasn't as high. It was 8.75. And they categorized that back then as good. You were 6'3". What was your weight coming out?
265, but I wasn't.
Yeah, it says 265 here, and I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
I was never that. I did agent thought that I would be projected more as like a solid blocking tight end. He really didn't know. And so we did like a sodium load for a week or 4 days before the combine.
Before.
I was just so bloated, yeah. It didn't help me running either. It didn't help any of my RAS score. My RAS score would have been much better at 251, what I normally weighed.
Do you remember what you ran the 40 in?
I ran a 4.80 at the combine.
It says here.
I ran a 4.65 at my pro day.
It says 4.89 here, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's a 4.80.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. Apparently, he played every sport, too. Like, somebody had mentioned to me that he's even a decent tennis player.
I can see that. He was a big-time hockey player in high
right.
school.
Right, hockey, too.
Wanted to play college hockey. Actually, there's a walk-on to K-State.
Right.
Which is crazy. And now he's a second-round draft pick.
All right. Hands catcher.
Awesome run after catch. Like, again, guy wearing a weird number. Making plays after the catch as an H-back. I kind of like that. But he's tough to bring down. He runs through everything. It's not always like an explosion. It's almost like I feel like I would never try to run guys over. It's like I'll take it on the side a little bit, and usually I could shake it. And that seems to be a lot of what he does. But, man, he to me is a guy that in a third down and six, you throw him the ball on a crosser or something short, he'll find a way to get the first down. He's also probably a guy that knows how to run the crosser to the depth that you need to run it to because he seems like a really smart player. So a guy that you could throw a screen to at any point and I think is going to be dynamic and getting yards. Like this is really cool because if you look at the ultimate positive, the intangibles, the versatility is outstanding. He can do whatever you want to do on a football field. It's really so helpful. When you have backs, tight ends, slot receivers that can do a bunch of different things because it makes your personnel so unpredictable. Like you got two tight ends in the game, but is this guy really going to play tight end? Is he going to be a fullback? Are we going to split him out as a receiver? Oh, by the way, he was a receiver in high school. I don't know what the personnel grouping is. It's hard formationally and personnel-wise for defenses to dictate when you have that much versatility in certain players. The run after catch is a huge intangible. I mean, it's awesome. His hands are big time intangible. So those are three things that I really like from Sinnott. Okay, let's go through the rest of this. Run game. Average, really, really average in the run game. He's able, when he gets on guys in space, like if he's out in space and he gets his hands on guys, he's able to run his feet. He's a willing blocker. Like, I don't want to say he's an unwilling blocker. And he can play physical when he makes good contact. But he's a poor hand striker. Like, he's not great with his hands, his hand placement, his immediate fit. His footwork's average. And so he's not getting on to blocks with a lot of physicality early. which he can work on that. That's something that he can absolutely improve on. The other problem is he's got a lot of bad misses. He's got a lot of overrun blocks where he's trying to track a linebacker, and it's like, whoa, where did he go? And I've also told you this, and I'll bet you anything, it's the same instance. It's like Donnie Warren told me, did you have to be, you're closing your eyes when you get to contact, at least in the run game. And I focused on it, and I was 100% closing my eyes, which is a normal, natural instinct for anybody who is 5 yards away from another human being and is going to run at them and smash them as hard as they can like a car crash. Like, you just close your eyes. It's a flinch. So he's got to focus. For me, I bet he'd have to focus on that. But he's got some bad misses. And a guy that can play tennis, that's played hockey, that's played everything, that's not unwilling to hit, doesn't have bad misses unless they're closing their eyes. There's no chance. So I think that some of the misses in the run game and blocking are pretty simple fixes if they can figure it out.
Okay.
But he'll go block. You can pull up film where he'll smash someone in the mouth. I mean, he's not afraid of contact by any means. And I don't think he has a strong dislike of blocking in the run game. I just think he's not technically there. So that's something he'll have to work on. But shoot, Kev, like, you go, if this guy can make plays down the field and vertically be a problem, which he will for NFL defenses, and figure all the things he can do, like, how many times do we talk about someone like Travis Kelce's blocking?
Right.
You know, which is actually not bad.
Right. I mean,
he works hard at it.
But we talked about Gronk's blocking, though.
Yeah. Gronk's blocking was very good. But being a average to just above average blocker, when you can use a guy in that many situations, is 100% good.
Is that what you would describe him as?
I'd say he's really average as in the run game.
Okay.
Really average. I don't think it's size. I don't think it's physicality. I mean, he could probably gain some strength. But he's 6'4", 250.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could probably get a little bit stronger. He could probably work on his at contact moment quite a bit. And he will. He will work on that. And at that point, you find ways to put him in situations where he can excel. He can have some success. You don't put him on the line of scrimmage, put his hand down on the ground, and have Terrell Suggs 2 yards outside of you as an outside linebacker and say, hey, go out there and try to block him, reach block him.
Right.
Those are hard to happen to me. Those are hard situations. So I think they'll get it figured out.
I mean, you had Joe, like, who wanted to play smash mouth, and he's going to be in an offense with Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, and they're probably going to open it up a little bit more.
Probably are. I'll tell you right now, though, Joe Gibbs would love Ben Sinnott. This would be his guy. Like, he would draft this guy.
Right.
This is his H-back, who can play tight end and play receiver. But he shouldn't. He's a tight end, right? He's a versatile tight end.
Yeah.
He's a VT.
Was there anything else other than, at this point, just average as a blocker that concerns you?
The only other thing that concerns me is he had some drops. Again, I don't know if I see that as a – he doesn't have great hands. I had some drops in my career, and it was one of those moments where you're like, why? Why?
Yeah.
I have no problem catching this ball because he can go up and make tough catches. He can make contested catches. He can make one-handed catches. And then all of a sudden – they're playing here, for example. They're playing Missouri. It was a tight game, back and forth. And he's got a drop on like a 10-yard dig route that he reaches his hands out in front of him and catches the ball on 3rd and 6. And that's with like 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a tight game. They end up coming back, tied 27-27 down, going down the field. There's about a minute 46 there at midfield. This would have put him into field goal range. He's running a seam route, vertical, down the numbers. Hits him in the hand, boom, drop. They end up losing that ball game.
Yeah, unlike, if I recall, it was like a 60-something yard field goal, actually, that won the game for Missouri. It's a crazy game. So he had a big drop on the drive when they had a chance to take the lead.
He had two big drops and two big drops and fourth down. But on the drive, it's about a minute 46 left in the game.
Okay.
They throw him a seam ball and it's a drop. And I guarantee that crushed him.
Yeah.
Probably does not want to talk about those things. And the way I watch him attack a ball with his hands and the way I watch him catch and he has soft hands, it doesn't concern me a lot. You're hoping it's not that it's a big moment in the game, but I don't necessarily see that. I think it's...
So you really like this player?
Making a big play. Yeah, I do. I'm a big fan. I think it's a good pick. And I'm not sure where people had him going. He's probably a third to fourth round guy until he runs a 4.68 and jumps a 40-inch vertical.
Right. Yeah, he was very tested ridiculously as an athlete. They signed Zach Ertz. Ertz played for Kingsbury in Arizona when he was the head coach there. For a young rookie quarterback, who's going to be on the field the most that first year, Ertz or Sennett?
I don't know how they'll play him. I would really push to have Sennett be on the field more than Ertz. I still like Ertz, but watching him with Arizona some last year, he's definitely not the same guy. He can be a huge positive influence for the team. They'll both play a lot. It's a hard decision, Kev, honestly. Without watching him in training camp and watching him work in practice and seeing how he adapts and adjusts, it could be one of those situations. And this is almost like if it's going to continue to be similar to me, he'll start and play, 40% of snaps to 50% of snaps for the first 7 or 8 weeks, and then he could develop into, hey, look, we want this guy as our – as our one tight end when we go to third down situations, which he may start and he'll play 70% of snaps, up to 80% of snaps. And by the second year, he won't come off the field.
He won't come off the field in the second year. That was Cooley from my podcast on Friday. Ben Sennett Joe Gibbs would have loved Ben Sennett. He would have been his guy. Loves him. We talked a little while afterwards, and he just said, this guy is a really good pick. And, there's a lot of similarities. It's almost identical to height and weight with Cooley when he came out, although, as he mentioned, when he bulked up for the combine, it was because his agent convinced him people were looking for a blocking tight end, so he went on some all-sodium diet for a week and gained a bunch of weight. But loves that he's a hands catcher, loves his ability to separate, loves his ability to be super versatile. And to him, that's an indication of a guy that's really smart, really athletic. And the one, constructive criticism was that, at this point, he is an average blocker. But the other stuff more than outweighs it. Said that, to him, he's, a third or fourth round pick until he runs 4.68 and jumps 40 inches at the combine, and that sent him up the board. So there you go. He's going to do a couple of the other draft picks in the coming weeks as well. All right, when we come back, we'll do some Denton news, which might include some of the Bray roast. I don't know. We'll see. That's next. Kevin Sciancio. The team 980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, we will get to the Tom Brady roast. I know people are actually very excited for me to play some of these jokes for you. But I do want to start with the Nationals. They were great on Sunday. Massive comeback. There was a rain delay, so it kind of threw the timing of the game off. Massive comeback. They're down 6-1 to win 11-8. They take 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays. I'm a little upset, Kevin, because the one they lost was the game that I went to. I don't know if that's a me thing or just a bad day. But they're playing really, really well right now as we get closer and closer to Memorial Day.
Well, Rosario, who was hitting, you know, .096 coming into the day, they signed to hit home runs, had the 2-run homer in the 7th that broke an 8-8 tie and ended up being the game winner. So good for him because he has obviously struggled. That's just his second home run of the season. He raised his batting average yesterday to .117. With 2 hits in the game. So that had to feel good for him. Look, they're getting they had power yesterday. They had 3 home runs in the game. We know about their base-stealing prowess. You'd love to see Mackenzie Gore have a better start. He is really the so-called ace. He gave up 6 runs, 2 earned on 6 hits over 3 innings. But the Nats are 17-17. They took another series. They took 2 of 3 from Toronto. They get the Orioles in a 2-game set tomorrow night at Nats Park. But right now, when you look at the National League standings, guess who would qualify if the season ended today, which it doesn't, I understand, for the 3rd wild card spot? Yeah, the Washington Nationals at .500 would actually qualify for the 3rd and final wild card spot if they were in this position in very late September, early October. But they're off to a very surprising start. It's exciting to see. They're getting, you know, as we've talked about all year long, they're getting incredible performances from guys like, you know, C.J. Abrams, who's having an all-star start to this season. He's hitting .283. He's, you know, right now his OPS, it was higher than this. It's down to .914. He's got, on the season, 8 stolen bases. He's got, you know, 19 RBIs. He's got 7 home runs. Meneses and Winker and Garcia. Garcia had a really good series, I think, over the weekend. Was 4 for 4 with 4 ribbies yesterday. And was 2 for 4 on Saturday. And had a home run in Friday night's win. So this has been a very impressive start. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, when the teams in town aren't very competitive, they check out, but right now the Nats are more, a lot more than what was expected 34 games into the season. Long way to go. I get it. So they get 2 against the Orioles starting tomorrow night. The Orioles have won 4 in a row. They've extended their lead in the American League East to, I think, a game or maybe a game and a half over the Yankees. So big test coming up for the Nationals, but Nats-Orioles here starting tomorrow night, 2 games. I wish I could go to one of them, actually. And they're going to have Trevor Williams in game 1, and then Mitchell Parker will pitch game 2. Not bad. I mean, really good start to the season. I'm looking at their schedule coming up. So after the Orioles, they have 3 at Fenway, but then they get the worst team in baseball in the Chicago White Sox for a 3-game set, and then they're in Philly to face the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies are on fire. They have actually opened up a lead. I want to see what it is. They're 2.5 up on the Braves in the National League East. The Phillies have won 5 in a row, 9 out of their last 10. All right, what else?
Game 7 yesterday between the Cavs and the Magic. This was a fun one. It looked really bad for Cleveland to start and then really bad for Orlando to finish. At one point, the Magic had a 15-point lead. Banchero was going nuts for Orlando, and then the offense for the Magic just completely fell off a cliff in the second half, and Donovan Mitchell started to heat up, and the Cavs end up winning by 12. So, like, the swing there is pretty incredible for a Game 7. But they're going on to face Boston now. Cleveland is. So they get the job done, get through a pesky Orlando team. It was a fun Game 7, though. I'm glad we got to watch it.
Yeah, just looking through it, it looks like they had an 18-point lead, Denton, late in the second half at 49-31. Wow. I didn't see any of this game yesterday. This is the series out of all of the first-round series that has gotten the least amount of attention. But Donovan Mitchell in his last two games went for 89 points. I think it's like for games 6 and 7, I think it's like second or third all time on the combined points for games 6 and 7 in a series. I mean, we saw last week, game 5 and game 6, Brunson go for 87, but they closed it out in game 6. But Donovan Mitchell playing really well. Paolo Banchero's obviously a star in the making for Orlando. He had 38 in the loss, but so Cleveland now gets Boston. I mean, the Celtics have to be a big-time favorite. I have no idea what they did head-to-head during the regular season. Do you?
No, I don't know what they did head-to-head in the regular season. I can tell you right now, though, Boston is a big-time favorite in the series. Like, holy
smokes.
Has
to be the biggest favorite of any of these second-round series.
Like, I think there's a typo here. They're so big of a favorite. Do you want to take a guess?
No, don't tell me. I want to guess it. I'm going to guess they're minus 400.
Try again.
You might minus 500.
You might want to multiply that by something.
Really?
Yeah, Boston.
Are they like minus 1,000?
You might want to multiply that again.
Oh, come on. That's not even possible.
They're minus.
That's not. That's not correct.
They're minus 3,000.
What?
And Cleveland.
Never heard of anything like that in a best of 7 NBA series.
Cleveland is plus 1,120. To beat Boston.
I don't think I've ever seen a series price that expensive.
Never. Boston's an 11.5 point favorite in game 1.
That doesn't seem right. I mean, what's let me pull it up on a site that I can wager on right now.
Yeah, I mean,
is that something that you read? Was it a story? Because sometimes those odds are way off.
This is looking, I'm literally on. Is this
minus 1,800 I have right here. I've never even seen that.
Yeah. It's insanity. Like, just for reference,
wow.
The Knicks are like minus 265 against the Pacers.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
like
what
normal.
Was my first guess? Minus 400?
Minus
I thought they'd be a massive. Minus 400 would be a massive favorite.
Yeah.
Something's not right there. Did Cleveland have, like, lose half their team? Huh. Okay. I've never heard of a series price that expensive. I personally haven't.
No, me neither. I mean, that's, I swear.
What's the Thunder Mavericks number? That's got to be near coin toss, right?
Yeah. Thunder Mavericks is Thunder minus 120, Dallas minus 102.
Yeah.
I mean, right now you can get Denver at plus 108 against Minnesota after game 1.
Not what I'm looking at right now. I see them at minus 130.
Our books are very different here.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. That's why you should have multiple.
Yeah, shop
if you're
around.
Doing this for real, you should have multiple spots because the numbers do vary. Cleveland, I don't think, has a chance against Boston. I would not play Cleveland at all. I mean, I like some of their players, but Boston looks set up for a very deep run here, if not a title. I will say this, that if we get Celtics-Knicks – I like the Pacers. Let me just tell you, I give the Pacers a chance to win the series against the Knicks. But if we get Knicks-Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, That is a big time. You can say, well, you know, it's more Boston and New York. No, the NBA would love to see the Celtics and the Knicks in a best of seven Eastern Conference Finals. When's the last time they played in the playoffs? Certainly not in the Eastern Conference Finals for a long time. And that would be, you know, two mega franchises in the league. And the tickets to those games in Madison Square Garden for Celtics-Knicks would be ridiculous. Love to go to one of those games if they end up playing it. I think Indiana's got a chance. I think I'd pick the Knicks. What was the series price there on the Pacers?
For the Pacers, it was plus 250, which is actually pretty good. Or now it's plus 210, sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking at plus 220 now. Score, man. They can really score.
To answer,
they'll win a game or two.
Question, 1974 was the last time Knicks, Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
1974.
Yeah.
So that was the Dave Cowens Boston Celtics, probably against Walt Frazier, Walt Clyde Frazier, Earl Monroe, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley, Willis Reed. I can tell you this, 74, that's like the first year I can remember the Celtics ended up beating in the NBA Finals the Milwaukee Bucks with Lou Alcindor, who would become... He was already Kareem at that point. He was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The Bucks were in the Western Conference back then. I'm pretty sure that that's the NBA Finals of 74 because the next year was the Bullets in Washington in the NBA Finals, losing to Golden State in four straight. Denton, Golden State, if you look at this, I'm pretty sure is still, odds-wise, the biggest upset in NBA Finals history. They were a massive underdog. And not only did they win the series, they swept the Bullets in the series in 75. I'm looking at the 1974. Yeah, the Celtics beat the Bucks in, it looks like, seven games. And they beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. That was the first year the Bullets were in Washington. They had moved from Baltimore. And they called them the first year in Washington, the Capitol Bullets. Not Washington, the Capitol Bullets. And then they changed it to Washington the next year. And by the way, the Bullets lost to the Knicks in seven games in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And the Knicks went on to face the Celtics. The next year, the Bullets beat the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. There you go. There's some NBA trivia history for you. What else?
All right, final thing before we get to the roast. So Charles Barkley's been doing the rounds a little bit. The NBA has a very big decision on what they're going to do with their basketball rights, whether they stay at Turner or potentially make the jump to Amazon. And Charles Barkley said if they make the jump to Amazon, he's a free agent and inside the NBA is done. Ernie Johnson's more than likely going to stay at Turner because he does other stuff outside of basketball. He calls playoff games in Major League Baseball, which is something he enjoys doing. So one of the best shows on any kind of sports television could be done if the NBA makes its move over to Amazon.
Amazon will come up with enough money for Chuck to change his mind. That show needs to stay together. I mean, if you ended up getting the NBA without inside the NBA from TNT, then, I mean, I think a lot of people prefer pregame, midgame, postgame better than the games themselves. That's a John Oran topic. I'll try to get John on the show to talk about that. So I'd love the NBA to stay with Turner. I think it's been a great fit forever, and that show's awesome. And this time of year to watch playoff games and to watch these guys for, you know, I don't know what the aggregate amount of time is there on the air. They do a half hour pregame and then typically a half hour minimum postgame. But when you add up all the half times of all the games, they're probably on the air for close to 2 hours a night.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, you know, oftentimes better than the games themselves.
By the way, Dirk filled in this weekend for Shaq. He's very good.
Nowitzki did?
Yeah. He had real basketball analysis.
Where was Shaq?
Too. I don't know what Shaq was doing, but Dirk was filling in. He was really good.
He was?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dirk has a future in this. He's not as much of a jokester, which, I mean, not incredibly surprising there, but he does have really good basketball analysis.
Yeah, I'd love to watch it. All right. We're going to do this. We're going to do some Brady sound from the roast. This was on Netflix, right? I didn't see any of it. So I've read some of the stuff on social media. I haven't heard any of it. So you're going to play some of this?
Yeah, so I got some of this for you. I don't have a lot of the non-sports players. And like Nikki Glaser, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was awesome.
She's the one that's, yeah, I know who she is.
She was really, really good. There was a weird exchange, which I can't play just because of some of the language in it, between Jeff Ross and Tom Brady when Jeff Ross made a massage joke about Robert Kraft.
That's the thing that I saw, where Brady goes up and tells him, don't say that again.
Don't say that again.
He didn't want him ripping Kraft?
I think that was a setup. I think that was a little bit of a setup. Because if you're going to get roasted...
Tell everybody what we're talking about.
So, Jeff Ross... So, they had the Tom Brady roast yesterday on Netflix. It was a big deal. It was live. Netflix is jumping into this live show kind of deal here. The roast was of Tom Brady. It opened with Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart did a really good job, you know, kind of setting the scene, getting some jokes off, getting the crowd warmed up. And then Jeff Ross comes out. And Jeff Ross basically has made a career off of doing these kinds of roasts. Any roast that's been done, like big-time roast over the last 10 years, Jeff Ross has been there. This is like where he excels. And this dude came out on stage, Kevin, dressed in a bloody OJ jersey, claiming he just came from hell and that Aaron Hernandez says hello.
That Jeff Ross did.
Jeff Ross did. So right from the jump, he is coming out firing. He goes on to do about 5 to 10 minutes. And at the tail end of his 5 to 10 minutes, he talks about Tom Brady's legacy, going from this walk-on going to Michigan, not having a lot of backing within the program, getting drafted early, and then he makes a joke about him walking into Robert Kraft's office and saying, "I'm going to be the best decision you've ever made," and then he hits him with, "Would you like a massage?" And when he said massage, they cut to Robert Kraft, who's just kind of like lightly smiling. And then it cuts back, and Tom Brady looks at Jeff Ross, turns his body a little bit, and then gets up and whispers, not so much whispers because it was caught on microphone, but gets in Jeff Ross's ear and says, "Don't say that beep again." And then Jeff Ross, who's like a pro with this, just kind of keeps going, "All right, all right, all right." And then he finishes his set. I don't know. I kind of think that was a setup, though, because there's no way you agree to a roast if you don't think massage jokes are going to be made, especially if Robert Kraft is there.
Well, I don't know why it would be set up. To me, it makes Brady look bad. It makes Brady look like he doesn't understand like the goal of a roast. Like anything goes. You can't. Where was Jeff Ross on the lineup? Was he at the end, beginning?
Oh, he was second. He was right after Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you can't come up. And by the way, it was nothing towards him. It was something towards his owner. So he's not being, you know, sensitive about his something said about himself, but that's what a roast is. If you don't understand that going in, that you and maybe a lot of people close to you are going to take, you know, an absolute pounding, then don't sign up for it.
And it's not like he did.
Am I right?
With,
I mean, like,
yo,
I,
you're 100%
to me,
right.
When I saw it this morning, to me, it made Brady look overly sensitive. It made it look like he was protecting Robert Kraft. I understand that, but that's not what the night is. You're not sitting at a dinner table and somebody says that and you get up and tell them, "Don't say that S again, or, you know, I'll kick your ass."
I thought it was very weird. I didn't get it. Like, he didn't do anything about this with the Giselle jokes. And let me tell you, a lot of Giselle jokes. It was like 2 hours of Giselle jokes.
Why did they do this?
Money.
How much money?
Well, he did. I don't know how much money he got.
Brady's not doing this for the hell of it, right?
No, I can't imagine. I mean, maybe. I mean, Netflix had to have thrown a massive bag at him to do this, because he literally got up there. Like, the massage joke aside, he got up there and got skewered for 2 hours. The Giselle jokes were flying from literally everybody.
Well, let's hear some of it. Why don't we take a break? I want to hear some of it when we come back. You've got some stuff lined up?
I have some of Brady's jokes, but I can find some other stuff that
all right. I want to hear some of what was said. I did see the line, I guess, about the deflated footballs, about Deflategate.
Yeah, that one I'm going to play for you. I got that one.
Okay, so we'll do some of that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my podcast called Search Engine, voted one of the best new podcasts by Time Magazine, Vogue, and The Economist. We answer fascinating questions about business, tech, and history. Questions like, who should be in charge of artificial intelligence? Or, how did ADHD medication get so popular so fast? Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tom Brady got roasted last night on a Netflix special in Denton. I didn't see it. Let me just ask you, is it worth going and watching it?
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
How long is it?
Like it. I didn't watch the entire thing. I think it's about 2 hours, maybe a little over 2 hours.
Okay, mostly teammates, coaches. What about comedians other than Kevin Hart?
So it was Kevin Hart, Jeff Ross, Nikki Glaser. There was a woman that I'm not familiar with on SNL. I didn't get to. She was on SNL at one point, I think. I didn't get to her. Andrew Schultz was there. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura were both there. There were some people in the audience, like Dana White gave a little bit of a roasting. Kim Kardashian got up on stage at one point. She got booed, by the way.
All right, so give me the best of it.
All right, so I'm going to start
what you can play.
I'm going to start with Nikki Glaser. She, to me, had the best roast. I thought she was sensational. She said a couple of things that I couldn't believe she said, but it was hilarious nonetheless. So this is her roasting Brady about Giselle and her new boyfriend.
How much would it suck for oh my God, just knowing your ex-wife's new boyfriend can beat your ass while eating hers. That's got to be terrible.
Were you supposed to run that?
Yeah, no, that was the one. That's why the bleep was very strategic.
That's a good one. For those that don't know, Giselle's like dating some, you know, black belt or something like that, right?
In jujitsu, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Here is another
one. Let me hear her again.
Yeah, this is the second and final one from her. This one's a little bit more family-friendly, but this is her roasting Brady about the a Bitcoin thing that he got caught up in.
$1 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like...
Yeah, I read that one, but it's better to see that one, to see her say, me know that not real money. Even Gronk knows that. That was pretty funny. That's a good line.
Yeah, that one was really good.
Yeah.
I thought she was the best. The dude from Kill Tony was good.
I know who she is, but I don't know why I know who she is. I think I've seen her in these roles before. Maybe I've seen her like on... I don't know. I've probably seen her on Fallon or Kimmel or something like that late night.
Yeah, she is like Jeff Ross, where she does a lot of roasts and she does a lot of late night television. She's a stand-up comedian. She's pretty good, but she's not like a headliner the way that Kevin
Hart is. I don't think I've seen a stand-up comedian, her do stand-up comedian. She's funny?
Yeah, I mean, her jokes are mostly sexualized jokes. So if that's your kind of forte, then you'll like her. If you don't like sex jokes, then... she's not the one for you.
Okay. What's next? Who else do you have?
Here's the Tom Brady one. I thought this was Brady's best thing. You had mentioned this earlier, the Deflategate. Here's Brady on Deflategate.
We got so many great football greats here tonight. But where's Roger Goodell? I know. Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I did it.
A lot of people, by the way, believe that that's an admission by him. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. You could have just given me $20 million and I would have just told you I blanking did it. I mean, by the way, think about that. They did. They spent for that Ted, whatever his name was, they gave him $20 million. Dude had never heard of the ideal gas law. That still cracks me up. What else do you have?
So there's a little bit of Peyton Manning stuff that I got here for you. Peyton Manning made an appearance. Here's some of him talking about Tom Brady.
Honestly, it is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady. Or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving.
What was Belichick laughing so hard at?
So there was a couple that Belichick delivered a couple that were really good. I thought the best one that was a zinger at Belichick was from Julian Edelman. I don't have that one. Yeah, Netflix has been kind of spotty with some of the clips that they've allowed to circulate on social media because obviously
because Edelman, whatever he was saying, Belichick was he couldn't breathe laughing so hard.
So he had two jokes that were insane. One of them I legitimately don't know, even if I were to edit it out, if we could play on air, because it's about death and Aaron Hernandez. So we had an Aaron Hernandez joke that got
was Aaron Hernandez was the butt of a lot of the jokes?
A lot of the jokes. Somehow Julian Edelman took a joke about Gronk's penis and made fun of Aaron Hernandez dying in the process. And that one got about a standing ovation from everyone. And then he gave a Bill Belichick. So one of the things that Bill Belichick did when they were coaching was that he would always get on players and say, kids at Foxborough High could do that job better. They could make this play better than you could. So Julian Edelman then got on stage and said, Foxborough High was the only job that wanted you. And that got Bill Belichick rolling.
That's a good one. I'll watch it, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Here's one more for Tom Brady, if you don't mind. Uh-huh.
Professor Gronkowski, my boy, thank you for being here. Despite everything we've seen here tonight, Gronk was actually useful on the field. Although the bar for Patriot tight ends was pretty low back then. Block, catch, don't murder.
You know, with Brady, the clips you've played, he sounds pretty comfortable. Like, I didn't know how he would – I don't know what I would guess that he would sound like. Brady, remember, is going to do games on Fox this upcoming season as the number one analyst replacing Greg Olson, right?
Yeah.
He's going to do that. Unless there's some sort of ownership Raiders thing that holds it up. Isn't that the plan right now? Yeah, he and Kevin Burkhardt, the number one team?
Yeah, that's going to go into effect this year.
There are a lot of people that aren't sure that Brady will be good at this. I honestly have no idea what to expect from Brady in that role. No idea. But I think the more and more I've heard from Brady over the last year, in whatever setting it's been, I'll tell you who he does a great job with. He does a really good job with Jim Gray on Monday Night Football. They do this halftime hit or pregame hit, whatever. I've heard it like a half dozen times, and he's really good in that. And he sounded pretty comfortable there last night. Now, he's reading lines that have been written for him, but he sounded okay. You think a lot of people believe Brady will be stiff?
Yeah, and the reason people think Brady is going to be stiff is because it feels like a lot of his stuff on like social media is kind of set up in the way that last night was with like writers and such. So I don't know if we've ever gotten a real feel on what Tom Brady is like in like a live. You have to react and give information quick. His podcast is good though, which he also does with Jim Gray. I feel like that's a more relaxed version of Tom Brady. So once he gets comfortable, I think he'll be okay. I just feel bad for Greg Olson because I think Greg Olson's really good.
I think Olson's good. I do. I think he's good. I think that the key for guys like Brady, and it's hard for some of them, But the absolute key is they're now into a different world, and you have to be honest. You have to have the ability to criticize, constructively criticize people that you've recently played with or people that you know very well, coaches that you know very well. Because if you end up, you know, essentially getting, you know, the pom-pom waving portion of the analysis, it won't be good enough, even if it is Brady. All right. I guess I'll go watch it.
Bledsoe was funny, too. He was
Drew
he was
Bledsoe?
Drew Bledsoe was inebriated, for sure.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of, I think for a night like that, you got to be, you know, you've got to be feeling pretty good. And no inhibitions. All right. Up next, Ben Standig, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.